if you're visiting with us at the East Side Congregation, we're delighted to have you with us. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. We'll be making a study from the book of Proverbs in the 22nd chapter. So if you'll get your Bible and turn there, we'll begin our study in a moment. And as we always, when I stand to preach, I encourage you to get your Bible. And if you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll kindly show me my error, I'll get up and make the proper correction. Or if you think I stated something in a way unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never been baptized into Christ, all things have been made ready where you can confess Christ as the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. If you have your Bible this morning, in the book of Proverbs and the 22nd chapter, I want to read with you verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. When you read the book of Proverbs, you'll find wise saying from wise men. Many of the Proverbs were penned by Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived. And when you read his statements, I want you to recognize he has given us God-given truth. And in the book of Proverbs, in the 22nd chapter, and in verse 3, he says, a prudent or wise man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple or the foolish man passes on and is punished. Then if you take your Bible, look if you will, in the book of Proverbs and the 10th chapter, and look at what the man of God says in verse 8. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 8, he says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. I recognize a contrast made in these two readings as I look at what the wise man said. He makes the statement that a wise individual, a smart individual spiritually, will take heed to God's word, will listen to God, while the carnally minded or the foolish man will ignore God's word. And he says in Proverbs 22:3, they just pass on. Instead of stopping and heeding the word of God, they pass on by. And that's not the only place you'll find the teaching and the contrast between the wise and the foolish. If you take your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, you remember in about verses 24 through 27, Jesus, as he's teaching that great Sermon on the Mount, talks about the foolish man who built his house upon sand. Then he compares him to the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And he said that when the winds came and the floods came, the man who built his house upon the sand, his house collapsed. That man did not foresee and prepare like he should have. And thus, he said, the wise man who built his house upon the rock, he foresaw what could come and was prepared, and thus he called him a wise man. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 25th chapter, you remember in about the first 13 verses, Jesus gives a parable. And in this parable, Jesus talks about 10 virgins that were preparing for the groom. And you'll remember that here were the 10 women that were prepared. And he said that 5 had come with enough oil, and 5 were foolish and had not come. Here they had come, but not with enough oil for when the groom came. And Jesus shows a contrast between those who were prepared spiritually and those who were carnally minded. Those who did not prepare spiritually for the coming of God. Now then, I think that all this could give us a good impression of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When Paul said that we need to keep our eyes on the things that are eternal and not upon the things that are temporary. And that we need to prepare our soul for eternity. That the wise individual will be prepared. That the wise individual will heed God. But the foolish individual will pass on by. And that brought to my mind today, how many people pass on by? Just think about in the community in which we live here in Shevville, Tennessee, how many people just pass on by in spite of what God has offered? The first thing I want to put in our heart is there are many people who've passed on by in spite of God's warning. God has warned man in both the old dispensation and the new covenant that there will be a day of judgment. And God in Ezekiel 33 in verse 8, as He said in Ezekiel 18, said that the wicked man will die. That is spiritual death. That man will be lost. The man who's not come to God and heeded the commandments of God, the man who's ignored the warning of God and passes on by, is a man that is foolish spiritually speaking. He has not prepared himself to meet God, and in spite of God's warning, he continues to live for that which is carnal and fleshly. His mind is only upon filling the belly, or filling his desire, or filling his life here, and he's not thought about life beyond the grave. Take in your Bible and look at several examples given to us. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, and you'll get a picture of people passing by. Jesus is hanging upon Calvary's cross. And notice what it says in verse 39. In verse 39, "And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Here were people literally passing by the cross of Jesus. And notice, they were mocking Jesus and blaspheming Jesus. They passed on by in spite of the warnings God had given. If you take your Bible this morning, look, if you will, in the book of Luke and the 12th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 12th chapter, you get a picture of a man who was wise in the physical realm, but foolish in the spiritual realm. In Luke chapter 12, you have a man who was wealthy. And he looked out at his wealth and he looked out at his crops and he said, "I've got enough to spare. What I'm going to do is tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new barns. I'm going to say to myself, take ease." And that man had stopped and he had only concentrated on the here and now. But have you ever looked in Luke 12 at what Jesus said to that man? In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 12th chapter, when Jesus looks down on that man, notice what is said in verse 20. In verse 20, God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have been provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Here was a man God identified as a foolish man. Why? Because spiritually he was unprepared to meet God. Now, physically, he was well-to-do. Physically, he had a lot of money. He had a lot of wealth. Physically and fleshly, it would seem he had going for him all that his heart would desire. But that night, his soul was required. And all of a sudden, all those things he worked for belonged to somebody else. And God identified that man as a fool. Why? He passed on by spiritually. In spite of the warnings of God that if you're not prepared, you'll be lost. In spite of the warning that there is a hell. In spite of the warning that hell is eternal. There are many who foolishly pass on by. But then I want you to think about a second thing. Not only do some people pass by in spite of God's warning, but many people pass by in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I recognize on Wednesday night, Brother Danny's going to be talking about some of that. But I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of John in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 16th chapter, notice, if you will, kindly, what the work of the Holy Spirit is. And notice three or four things. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 16th chapter, Jesus says in verse 7, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I want you to stop and think about how many people have rejected the teaching of the Holy Spirit. How many people have rejected the work of the Holy Spirit? Now this morning when we stand up and preach the Scripture, we are preaching the Word of the Holy Spirit. It's what He has revealed. It is what He has revealed to the apostles and they have written down. And so when I take the Bible, I think about what preaching is all about. What is it about? To convict people of sin so that they will prepare themselves for the judgment to come. You want a good example of that? Look in your Bible in the book of Acts in the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 24th chapter, you'll find Paul preaching to Felix. And when Paul is preaching to Felix, notice if you will what is said. In Acts chapter 24, as he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, look at verse 25. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. What's he preaching? Exactly what he said in John 16. Notice he preached it to Felix. And Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." You ever thought what that man did? In spite of the Holy Spirit pricking at his heart, in spite of the teaching of God's Word going where it should, that man passed on by. Have you ever thought about in this audience how many people have passed by? In spite of God's warning about life beyond the grave, they've ignored that warning and they live for themselves, they live unto themselves, and they don't give any regard to God's teaching. Then there are some who, in spite of God's Word being taught, and God talking about judgment to come and righteousness and self-control, they continue to pass on by. The wise individual will take inventory of himself. But the spiritually minded man who will not take, but the foolishly minded man who doesn't think about the spiritual will pass on by. But that brings up a third thought in our study. If you take your Bible, think about that there are some who pass on by in spite of people weeping for them. Have you ever thought about that there are people that are weeping because you're lost? There are people who have shed tears because they recognize that the state you're in, that if you were to give up the ghost, you were to die, you would be in an undone and lost condition. And thus people weep. They shed tears because they recognize you're lost. One of the most powerful statements in the Old Testament is found in the 119th Psalm in about verse 130 when David said, "Rivers of tears flow down from mine eyes." Why? Because they keep not thy law. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 19th chapter. In the book of Luke in the 19th chapter, we get one of the pictures of Jesus as he is weeping. In Luke 19 in verse 41, it says, "Now as Jesus drew near the city, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Have you ever thought about how many people pass on by in spite of the tears shed for their soul? I'll never forget the night my mother died. I'll never forget her telling me to go preach. I'll never forget that before I got home, she had passed away. And I have often thought, here is a woman standing on the threshold of eternity, and could her mind have been about lost souls? more concerned about those who are lost than some people are about their own soul. Some people just don't seem to be concerned about eternity. Some people just pass on by foolishly, not considering, not thinking, not contemplating where they will spend eternity. They just live for the here and now, and they think, I'm a pretty good person, but they ignore God's warning, they ignore the work of the Spirit, and they ignore the tears of people that love them. I'll never forget. One day when I was preaching in the congregation, there was a young man who had been living vile and had been arrested. And I went with his grandparents to his arraignment. And there he was, shackled in hands and feet. And his grandmother looked at him and started crying. And he looked at her and he said, oh, if you're going to start that, just look away from me. Her tears didn't mean nothing. And I thought about how hard-hearted some people are. That not only do they reject the Word of God, they reject the tears of people who love it. But that brings up another thought in our study. Have you ever thought about how many people pass on by in spite of the cross? As we read again in Matthew 27, they looked upon Jesus' suffering and they passed on by. And in their passing by, they blasphemed Him. And can I say that's true today of people? There are some people that know what Jesus did on the cross. They know why He did it on the cross. They understood He sacrificed Himself for their sins. And yet they act like that doesn't mean a thing to them. I want you to understand this morning, my friend. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how good you think you are. You need the blood of Christ. There's not a one of us in here who deserves heaven. And if we get to heaven, it'll be by the amazing grace of God and by the cross of Jesus Christ. And when I look at the blood of Jesus Christ, that ought to touch my heart. And yet there are some people who are so hard-hearted, so arrogant, so haughty, that it doesn't mean anything to them that the Son of God left heaven and died for them. I want you to understand, my friend, if you pass by the cross, you pass by your only hope. And I'll tell you, the most foolish thing an individual can do is think they can save themselves. And the most foolish thing an individual can do is look at the cross and walk on by. And yet I see it time and time again. In spite of the amazing love of God, they think the cross is foolish. That's what's said in 1 Corinthians 1:18. But the cross isn't foolish. It's foolish to those who are perishing. Why? Because they're passing it by. They're passing by the only means of hope they have. And I would to God this morning I could get men and women to see that the cross of God is the love of God. How many people pass on by in spite of God's love? Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. And when you come to 1 John chapter 4, look at what is said. In 1 John chapter 4, when the writer of God is talking about the love of God, he lets them know in verse 10. He said, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What did He say in John 3:16? "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life." And yet, my friend, so many people pass on by. They pass on by in spite of God's love. And so I want to raise a question. Are you being wise spiritually or are you being foolish? Will you pass on by? Because when you pass on by, you pass by forgiveness. You pass by spiritual blessings. You pass by hope. You pass by the love of God. You pass on and have no eternal hope of being with God for all eternity. And that's the question. Where will you spend eternity? open your Bible for just a moment to the book of Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 1, look at the statement that's made in about verse 12. And it's a powerful statement. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, Jeremiah said, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by?" And you know what? To some people, that's exactly what it is, nothing. God doesn't mean nothing to them. Jesus doesn't mean nothing to them. The Spirit doesn't mean nothing to them. The church doesn't mean nothing to them. And they pass on by. There was a poem written some years ago by G.A. Stuart Kennedy. He said, "When Jesus came to Birmingham," but we'll just change it to Shevville. It said, "When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through his hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep. For those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Shevville, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And still it rained the winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. He would rather you outright hate him than be indifferent to him. Saul of Tarsus hated him, but he flipped. But indifference can't be melted." There was a man by the name of John Griffith whose childhood ambition was to travel the world. But that ambition was cut short in the Great Depression of 1929. The howling winds of his native state of Oklahoma had turned the state into a dust bowl. So he took his wife and small son and packed his belongings and headed east. And they took to the place of Missouri. And there he found a job as a controller of a great railroad bridge across the Mississippi River. In the summer of 1937, he took his 8-year-old son Greg to work with him. And at noon, he'd opened the gate and allowed the train trestle to go up so some ships would pass through. And they sat on the observation deck, and he was telling stories of his childhood to his 8-year-old son as they ate lunch. And time got away from him. And at 1:07, he heard a whistle and he looked down. It was time for the Memphis Express. So he jumped up and he went up onto the catwalk and he ran back up to lower the bridge into place for the train. When he got back to the controller, he looked down and to his horror, his son had fallen and slipped into one of the shifts, the gear shifts, and his foot was caught. If he lowered the bridge, it would crush his son. Not to lower the bridge would cause a train crash. John Griffin had a decision to make. John Griffin, a man from Oklahoma, looked at his son, and then he pushed the button to lower the train, the trestle back into place, and it crushed his 8-year-old son to death. And it was said that when the train passed by, he looked into the train cars and he saw men smoking their cigars and reading their papers, children eating their ice cream. And he sobbed out, "I killed my son for you. Doesn't that matter at all?" And that was an accident. God killed his son and allowed him to die. On purpose. Is it anything? Does it mean anything to you? Or is it nothing to you, all who pass by, that God purposefully said, "I love you enough to let my son die in your place"? Too many people passing by. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we pray.